Hello and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. It's brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK University Medical Center. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz. On the program this week, Dr. Ron Karnaugh. He's with Hackensack Meridian Health at the JFK Neuroscience Institute in Edison. Dr. Karnaugh specializes in pain management and is a former Olympic swimmer who has expertise in diagnosing sports-related injuries and their treatment. Welcome, doctor.
Good morning, Mr. Katz. It's a pleasure to be here today. Thank you for having me on your show.
Great to have you. Today, we'll try and help those who suffer from neck and lower back pain with or without sciatica, along with the best treatment options, avoiding surgery, and we'll talk about sports injuries as well. So let's learn about you a little bit. You were an Olympic swimmer. Very impressive. Can we start? Can you share the deets on that and how it led you to where you are now?
Sure. So it was quite a journey. I started swimming at a very young age, grew up in Maplewood, New Jersey, and then throughout the years just progressively got better. And it took about 18 years of hard training, both throughout high school, college.
Yeah, I bet.
And thereafter, where I qualified and won the 1992 Olympic trials to qualify and represent the United States in Barcelona, Spain.
That's
so it's
fantastic.
Quite an honor and quite a journey, and something that will always be remembered in my life as a very high achievement, and it's made me the physician that I am today, where I always excel and expect high expectations and success throughout my daily life.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You have to be very disciplined to be in any Olympic sport, and that you transfer that into your daily life. How did that lead into you going to medical school and being a doctor?
Sure. So when I was in high school, I had an interest in the sciences, and then my parents became ill. Unfortunately, my father had heart disease, my mother had cancer, and seeing them go to their physicians and interacting with the physicians was really the catalyst for my interest in medicine as a high school student, and then that transformed into college as a biology major at the University of California at Berkeley. And as a student athlete, I just really enjoyed working hard and trying to have a balanced schedule. So it took a lot of hard work and discipline and learning how to deal with setbacks. And my perseverance allowed me to apply for medical school. It was highly looked upon that I was a high-level student athlete, and I got accepted and went to New Jersey Medical School here in Newark, New Jersey, which is now Rutgers University.
Mm-hmm. So all New Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah. You're born and bred and everything New Jersey guy. So let's get into the issues, the back issues. They've been exacerbated with today's need to work from home, sitting around the house, laying around. What are some of the things we can do to prevent some of the back issues that we're getting?
Sure. So we've seen it all over the past almost 2 years now with the COVID and the pandemic and the surges that have come and gone. And basically, the working from home was definitely a factor that worked against many patients, where it was like a sedentary lifestyle for them to, you know, not go about to the gym and do their exercise, and then coupled with, you know, poor workstations, you know, working on a computer with, you know, not a proper setup in terms of, like, you know, good eye contact with your screen. Patients were working in the kitchen, the dining room, the bedroom. So we saw a real high surge in both neck pain and lower back pain, and it just continued on.
Now, what are some of the ways to treat some of that? Now that these people you're speaking of, and there are many, they didn't have any issues before, and they're like, what's going on here? What do I do?
Sure. So we try and counsel patients when they come in and advise them to not sit for prolonged periods of time. That's probably one of the number one things. We encourage them to get up and every hour move, stretch, and also walk around and make sure that they're not going to be just, you know, constantly sitting for endless hours, like 4 to 5 hours on your computer and or on the phone. And so we've encouraged them to do that, as well as try and get involved in exercise, getting proper sleep, getting proper nutrition. There's a number of factors that play a role, and of course, you know, avoiding gaining weight, which also is a number one factor for neck and back pain, proper posture. So there's a lot of variables that can be told to the patient that can be lifestyle modifications, and that's half the game.
So what are some of the ways to treat that? I mean, there's rehabilitation, there's therapy, there's surgery, there's medication. Different for each person?
Yeah, so it depends on the degree of pathology. So when a patient presents and we evaluate them and the severity of their pain, if it's been, you know, an acute onset versus something chronic, and then, of course, we rely on the physical examination to see if there's any neurologic deficit, meaning, you know, is there any weakness or do they have loss of sensation or dropped reflex, coupled with looking at their imaging, typically an MRI, to see just how bad the pathology is, such as like a disc herniation in someone that's either young or middle-aged, or if they have spinal stenosis where they're a little older and elderly. So there's a lot of different ways where we evaluate the patient, and that will dictate their treatment. So typically we advise them to exhaust conservative care for at least 6 weeks, which means that you're taking anti-inflammatory medications as tolerated, along with a comprehensive medically supervised physical therapy program where it's twice a week for 6 weeks, 12 sessions. And 90% of the time, patients, if they follow that, they'll get through where much of their pain will be alleviated and they can avoid further interventions such as like injection procedures, which is what I specialize in, or be referred for surgery, which is what I sometimes have to do.
What are some of the exercises that seem to alleviate the pain the best, or does it vary from patient to patient?
So for neck pain, you know, typically we, again, encourage proper posture where the shoulders aren't rounded forward, the head is more positioned in a neutral position with the screen, and we have them do various stretching exercises of their bilateral upper extremities, their arms, their shoulders, the scapular retraction, the chin tucks, and just a lot of, you know, trying to maintain mobility. We don't encourage patients to, like, wear a soft cervical collar and walk around like the Tin Man. We want them to use their neck. We've always used that analogy that, you know, your body is like the bicycle in the garage. If you leave it there and it gets rusty and dusty, it's not going to work very well. So we want to maintain the range of motion, the stretching, the strengthening exercises. The other stuff that is done, such as the modalities, which means the heat, ice, exercise, ultrasound and massage is okay, but that's just temporary. So it's really the stretching and strengthening program. And the same is applicable to the lower back, where we encourage core strengthening exercises, which means strengthening the abdominal muscles, the lower lumbar paraspinal muscles, and the hip abductor muscles, the hip girdle muscles.
You mentioned earlier spinal stenosis. I'd like to, when you mentioned the terms, I'd like to describe them, because I've heard all these terms, but all I know is that there's back pain, there's pain involved. So there's the spinal stenosis, the sciatica. Can you differentiate?
Sure. So basically, spinal stenosis refers to the age-appropriate degenerative changes that take place in the spine within the discs, where as we get older, there's an aging phenomenon where the discs start to wear out and the water content is lost and the disc height space is lost. And then there's arthritic changes along with that that occur in the spine. And the canals where the nerves are passing through in the both the neck and the lower back, namely the cervical spine and lumbar spine, will start to narrow. And when the canals start to narrow, then the nerves start to get compressed, pinched in layman's terms. And when the nerves get pinched, they get irritated, inflamed, and hence that will cause the pain to radiate into either the upper extremity, like the shoulder and down the arm, or down the leg, which is often referred to as sciatica, leg pain.
And I find the human body is just fascinating. And I learned about the spine, how each disc and correct me if I'm wrong, each disc has nerves connected to it. So each disc, which they're all numbered, each number controls the nerves of a certain other part of the body. Does that make sense?
Basically, the way I always explain it to patients is that your body is like a roadmap, and the nerves that come off the spinal cord, they give power, strength, and sensation to your upper extremities and lower extremities. And so each nerve innervates a certain part of the body, and so that's why it's like a roadmap. So when a nerve gets pinched or compressed and the patient describes their pain to us, where it's radiating. For example, if it's radiating down the back of the leg, down to the heel and side of the foot, that's classic for the S1 spinal nerve root. If it's more like down the side of the leg to the top of the foot, that's more like the L5 spinal nerve root.
Right.
Neck, and it radiates into the shoulder or tricep and down into the forearm and hand. That's classic for C7 and also C6 into the front of the arm and to like the forearm and thumb and index fingers. So we see a lot of those nerves. That's probably 90% of what we see and diagnose. And so it's a lot of interesting pathology that makes sense to us when a patient comes in and describes it.
The way it sounds like, is this a good analogy where each, like a circuit breaker in your house, and each circuit breaker controls a certain part of the house. So if the spine and the different spinal discs is a circuit breaker, they control all the things that you just described.
Absolutely.
That makes sense? Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of as you were just saying it. I obviously, you have a much better way of describing it than I do.
Well, the key is diagnosis, to be able to accurately diagnose a patient when they come in. So when they come in, we obtain an accurate history, detailed physical exam we perform, and then we look at the imaging between the three pieces of that information. I call it the trifecta: the history, physical exam, and the pertinent imaging. When we combine those and correlate that, we are able to accurately diagnose the patient. So it's kind of like bringing your car to, you know, the auto mechanic, and they have to hook up a computer and run a bunch of different diagnostics. We do the same thing in the exam room, and that's how we're able to help our patients here at JFK.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Fascinating. Now, what about someone who has back pain once in a while? You know, maybe every couple of weeks they have something for maybe half a day or for the day. Is that a concern?
Usually not. I always tell patients if they come in and, you know, if they can identify pain that occurs on a daily basis where it affects four things in their daily life, whether it be their work, their hobbies, their sleep, or any other activities of daily living, then that's more concerning. But if it's like a once in a blue moon or a little ache or pain here or there, then I tell patients typically not to worry about it as much. If they can take, you know, some sort of anti-inflammatory or Tylenol and it takes the pain away and it doesn't come back for quite a while, then it's not that concerning to me.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I wanted to ask, what about someone who has back pain more than I just described, but it's eliminated when they take Tylenol or Advil, but they find themselves taking it every day?
Right. So that's a great question where, again, we have to properly counsel patients and make sure that they're not taking too many medications. And we do see a lot of patients like that. So, again, a lot of it's just proper counseling and really looking into the details of what exactly is causing the problem. And what we refer to in that sense is, again, the pain generator. What is work? What's the problem? What's causing the symptoms? And from there, we can accurately diagnose the patient and then offer an accurate treatment plan. Without an accurate diagnosis, you're going to have nonspecific treatment plans, and that's not going to help or work for the patient. It's more than just neck pain or back pain. We really look at the pathology and explain to the patient exactly what's going on. And in my case, where I can help patients with doing an x-ray guided injection procedure, which is called an epidural injection, to treat that pinched nerve. It's a highly specific procedure. It works very well where cortisone is placed at the site. So sometimes, you know, that's the next step. And patients also do very well with this. 90% of the time, they get significant pain relief and avoid surgery.
Right, because if they're taking this, you know, the pain relievers every day, they're just masking the problem, right? It's there. They're thinking, oh, I'm okay because I take, but they shouldn't have to take that every day, correct?
Precisely, correct.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very accurate. And again, that's part of the counseling because, you know, there are side effects where you don't want to get a GI bleed. It can alter your blood pressure. There are a lot of different side effects that can come with these medications. And our job is to help these patients and properly guide them so that they don't fall into this trap of taking pain medications every day. That's really a notion from the past that we're trying to avoid.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Ron Karnaugh with Hackensack Meridian Health at the JFK Neuroscience Institute in Edison, specializing in pain management, former athlete, Olympic swimmer. And can we talk a little bit about sports-related injuries?
Sure.
I want to know, what are some of the bad habits? I know every sport is different, but what are some of the bad habits that athletes fall into that can lead to these injuries?
Well, we often see that the patients do too much too soon. So what I mean by that is, you know, when we were shut down during the pandemic, you know, gyms were closed for almost a year, and patients weren't able to exercise. And then finally, when the gyms reopened and patients got back into their exercise routine, you know, they just were too aggressive. They did too much too soon. And we saw a lot of injuries related to patients where they were lifting heavy weights. They were herniating a disc in their lower back because of heavy squats. We saw patients doing a lot of aggressive yoga exercises and too much, you know, stretching of the spine, and again causing injury to the disc and hence nerve with the pain radiating. So we just basically saw patients do too much. And so when we see patients and they come in with this type of problem, again, we counsel them and tell them, I always state, you know, start low and go slow and gradually build into it and listen to your body. If you find that something is really, you know, aggravating your pain, a certain type of activity or exercise, then try to avoid that. And I know it's a rather common sense bit of advice here, but it does work. So it's really, you know, individualized to each patient as far as what type of exercise they're doing. But basically, that's what we saw during the COVID surge.
Did I hear you right? You can stretch too much?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the spine is designed to, you know, be in more of like a neutral position and stretch, you know, to, if you bend your back, you know, forward, that's called flexion. And then if you extend the back, you know, obviously that's called extension. But you don't want to do it too much of an extreme, because then it just puts too much pressure on the spine. So I always tell patients, again, listen to your body. And, you know, I often tell patients, you know, try Pilates, which the spine stays more in a neutral position and there's less stress, and they still can do the core strengthening exercises that work very well.
So Pilates is good for that. What about?
I prefer Pilates more over yoga, as yoga is done in a, you know, cautious way.
More stretching there, right?
There's more stretching, which is great, but again, not the extremes that you see patients, you know, essentially almost bending over backwards. It puts a lot of stress on the spine. You just got to be real careful.
Now, for those who have children in sports, all three of my kids are in sports, several sports. I've heard it said that it's better to play all sports because you're using all muscles rather than just focus on one sport and only train on that one sport, because then when you go and do something else, it could be harmful. How accurate is that?
Sure. So with, you know, single sport participation at a very young age, often you get a lot of overuse injuries. So it's better for younger athletes to be more involved in several different sports, and that will enable them to, again, use different muscle groups and avoid overuse injuries, which can often happen with the tendons and the ligaments, where basically children aren't like fully developed yet to put that much stress on a daily basis on their joints. I always tell and counsel patients when their parents come in, the parents always say that little, you know, kids are not little adults. Just, you know, let nature take its course, let the body develop, and be patient, and you'll be safer with that advice rather than just being so aggressive at a younger age and being involved in one sport. And then furthermore, mentally, there's less burnout. When you get kids involved in just one sport, too much stress, too much pressure, their mental health, they just burn out much quicker because of the monotony of training just one discipline. So I always tell patients, again, be conscious of that, because, you know, mental health is also very important as well for these youngsters.
Should they take a break throughout the year? Because some go straight from school sports to, you know, AAU, let's say, like one to the next. It's around the clock, which it wasn't years ago. And is that a good idea to take a couple months off during the year for a kid? And B, is that what is leading to some of these ACL tears and things like that?
Great question. So I think a lot of it is, you know, sports specific and sport dependent. So it really depends on the sport. Some sports, which are considered all year round, like swimming, you know, the kids only get off maybe 2 or 3 weeks in the spring and maybe another 2 or 3 weeks off in the summer, and then the rest of it's kind of all year round. As far as, you know, if you're doing more like a high school sport such as, you know, baseball or basketball or football, I always encourage patients to take at least a week or two off physically. That will be helpful for the body and mentally. And again, a lot of it is just common sense and following good ways of listening to the student athlete and making sure that they're enjoying it and that they're maintaining a healthy diet, they're maintaining a daily stretching and strengthening program, they're maintaining good rest for recovery. All these things are so important and crucial to the big puzzle. I always explain that there's a lot of different pieces of puzzle that make up, you know, how well the student athlete's going to do at the end of the day, and you got to do all the little things right.
What are some of the most common sports-related injuries that you see?
Well, here, you know, where I specialize in pain management, I do a lot of spine, so I do see a lot of patients who are athletes that have neck and lower back injuries, but at the same time, I'll see a patient with a shoulder injury. I'll see patients with an elbow injury, hip injury, knee injury. Those are pretty much the four most common peripheral joint injuries that we see in athletes, where sometimes it can just be like a tendonitis where the tendon is inflamed from overuse. Other times there can be, you know, a sprain of a ligament. So again, most of the time, conservative management, the rest and gradually getting back into physical therapy program that's, again, medically supervised. Here at JFK, they do a great job with working one-on-one with these patients who are athletes, and most of the time they do well to get back on the playing ground.
Whether it be pain or injuries, what's the difference? Is there a difference? Is it different for men and women, boys and girls?
Great question. So often we see the younger athletes, the female athletes, that are involved in a lot of pivoting sports, such as like field hockey or soccer, and they sustain ACL injuries, that's with the knee. And with swimmers, we see a lot of upper body injuries, such as like overuse injuries with the shoulders. Those are pretty much predominantly the injuries that we see. We see some football players with, again, lower back injuries, herniated discs. That's a very common theme. And so we do see a wide array of various sports injuries. And it's just, you know, the nature of the game. You got to be careful out there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Dr. Ron Karnaugh with the Hackensack Meridian Health at JFK Neuroscience Institute in Edison. Someone who wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Sure. The best way is to go on our website. It's Hackensack Meridian Health here at JFK Neuroscience Institute. And then they could also call 732-321-7010. And fortunately, we're open. The doors are open despite the COVID surge, where we're seeing patients and we're doing procedures. So a lot of the local hospitals aren't, but the doors are open, and it's business as usual, and we're here to help patients to get them out of their pain and give them back their quality of life and back on the playing field.
So we have HackensackMeridianHealth.org or 732-321-7010.
Correct.
All right. That's great. And you're right there on James Street in Edison.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for speaking with me. I really enjoyed this conversation. I found it fascinating.
My pleasure, Mr. Katz. Always here to give back and help the community. Thank you very much.
For the podcast of this program, go to foxradionewjersey.com. This is JFK Spotlight on Health. We're out of time. I'm Joel Katz. Talk to you next week.